This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Daddy's hosting today, kids.
Oh, yeah.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Rodgers, he doesn't want to play for the Patriots.
It never works out for the Jets, and it always works out for us.
Does it?
Forgot all those Jets playoff wins the last couple seasons.
We haven't had one in 12 years.
Three Super Bowls since then.
I understand.
All right.
Earlier on the show, Penn State cornerback Joey Porter Jr., Academy Award-winning actor Russell Crowe. Still to come, Eagles center Jason Kelce. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We're live on the Roku channel here on this busy Masters Friday. Roku channel is free on all Roku devices. Select Samsung Smart TV, Amazon Fire TV, the Roku app has the Roku channel on it. It's free in there. TheRokuChannel.com for anybody sitting there at a desktop or a laptop or wants to use the internet tubes to watch us free every single day. You can do that. We say hello to our Sirius XM Odyssey listeners, the Rich Eisen Show Terrestrial Radio Network, coast to coast. We also say hello to those listening on our podcast. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We have an in-studio guest all third hour. This is the only man who can follow up a Russell Crowe Zoom that we just aired moments ago. He is in Los Angeles, California, after finishing up the NFL, what I've known as the broadcast boot camp, but he just blew my mind saying it's now called the NFL broadcast workshop, whatever. He is from the Philadelphia Eagles, thankfully getting set to play another season, and also the much more talented Kelce on the New Heights podcast. Jason Kelce, good to see you, sir.
Rich, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you, man. You got the shirt, your branding.
Yeah, I'm trying to represent. I got my badge across my chest, I guess.
But, I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. And you have top billing. You have top billing as well with Jason and Travis Kelce.
That's right. Yeah.
Is that a conscious decision or what?
I have no idea who made the shirt, but I'm happy that I am in front. I think that it's seniority.
It's seniority, yeah. Alphabetically as well.
Mm-hmm.
We got all of that.
Yeah.
It is killing it. Your podcast.
We're having fun. It's, we started it before last season.
Right.
And I've talked to my brother more than ever before. Seems like we're closer than we've been throughout our entire NFL careers. And it was certainly good timing to do it in the middle of the best AFC team, best yes. NFC team, ultimately culminating in a Super Bowl. Good time to start a podcast.
Yeah, why did you guys decide to do that?
Well, you know, we know that, well, for sure for me, our careers are getting close to being done.
Yeah.
And we had talked about it for a number of years. And I think really getting to know the right people that could make it happen, being at a place where we saw a lot of other current athletes doing podcasts and having success.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, one of the big concerns is this going to be a distraction? Are we going to say things and it's going to be taken the wrong way? Well, now everybody is doing it and it's a lot more normal and accepted league-wide, team-wise, and fan-wise. So I think seeing the acceptance of that, as well as just having the general interest of doing it and then meeting the team that we have now to be able to execute on it,
right,
has all caused us to do it then. And mm-hmm. then, you know, quite frankly, I talked to Chris Long before the season, who has his own podcast.
Yep.
Green Light.
He's terrific. He was a regular Monday guest for us all season long and dynamite.
So Chris was one of my favorite players I ever played with. And uh-huh. Only had him for a short stint in Philadelphia. Was fortunate to win a Super Bowl with him. But he, his biggest advice to me was, you know, if you guys are really thinking about doing this, start it while you're still playing. Really get it established, and then when you're done playing, you'll transition into doing it more full-time and everything after that.
Well, it's good that you're doing it now with Travis. I think the first few years of his career probably wouldn't have been a very good
idea. Yeah, it's...
When he was throwing flags at refs.
And that would have been good for TV.
That would have been. Wait a minute. See, this, you know content. Now you know content creation. But, you know, it is a great piece of advice from Chris to say, do it while you're playing, and then... You know, obviously playing this year against each other in the Super Bowl, it just puts it on a whole different plane, totally different level, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about content. There is a lot of stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
You know, we had the two leading league MVPs playing for both of our teams. We both won our division, our conference, obviously,
yes,
throughout the regular season, ultimately culminating in a Super Bowl, first brothers ever to play in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, the storylines were incredible.
Through the roof.
Not just, you know, for our podcast, but just the season in general. So,
right.
Really, really good timing for sure.
Plus, you're not hot takers. The only people listening to your podcast, you know, from the industry who might be offended are the coaches who Travis sure. had no earthly idea who they
yeah.
were.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe this fall it'll be just like we'll find out the coaches that have the do you not know who I am in them.
It'll
you
be
know?
Interesting when Trav plays the Raiders and Josh McDaniels is on the sideline. Yeah. I think
he plays twice a year.
He called me the moment they released it on social and he saw how much buzz it was getting. And he's like, man, I did not realize I went so hard on some of these guys. And, you know, it was a tough picture. I will give him credit. I didn't think Josh McDaniels looked like Josh McDaniels at all. Well, when I was looking at it, and then
yeah.
multiple of the coaches, it's harder seeing him in the street clothes, looking into the sun, like all these things. We're not looking at a 4K photo either.
Yeah, it is right there.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, the one that we have, you could see Daboll top left. It looks like mm-hmm. he's wearing a bandana, and it's just really his dome being totally roasted by yeah. the Arizona sun. But you're right, McDaniels. I didn't know he was that. You know. What's the word for it? You know, wide.
Yeah,
I'll say wide. Say,
yeah, pudgy.
You know,
almost looks like an Ivan.
and next to him, Arthur Smith. We brought it up with Arthur Smith because he joined us a few days later. Arthur Smith is just like looking. I told him next year, can you just tell your face to smile?
Yeah,
or what?
Yeah,
look at him.
Like, yeah, I don't know what that.
He said he just wanted to take the picture and get to his next thing. I'm like, what's your next thing? Like the first hole? Like it's the NFL, it's the owners meeting. Like, what are you doing?
And it looks like he's been the first time he's been outside in a few months. Like there's absolutely no color to him.
What did Travis call McVay again? He called it. Who did he call him?
He called him Gordon Bombay.
Gordon Bombay. Yeah.
Yeah. We made a reference earlier in the show before that one that Sean McVay looked like when Gordon Bombay had his evil stint with the Mighty Ducks where he was a sellout and he was slicking his hair back and yeah, the shades and everything. He's cool for school right there.
Gordon Bombay. But for me, I'm always mindful of who's got shoulder on somebody. That's a Peyton having shoulder on yep. McVay. You got to get shoulder. By the way.
Your position.
Perfect. Since you're here for the broadcast mm-hmm. workshop, whatever is it called?
Yeah.
Boot camp, whatever.
Sure. Yeah.
In your career, whenever you're going to be shooting, if you're part of a team,
yes.
again,
yes.
Broadcast team, got to make sure you get shoulder in the promotional video photograph. You got it. You can't just, yes. You gotta pull a McDaniels.
Okay.
Get both shoulders in front of somebody like that, right there.
Right there.
You don't look, honestly, because
the
what
focus is now on him.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Sean Payton, too.
Really?
I mean, they're both. I mean, that might be one of the reasons Arthur Smith looks so awkward is that he's getting double shouldered.
He's getting.
Mike Tomlin's on his left.
Yes.
Josh McDaniels on the right. And well, he kind of looks like he's a little awkward.
Well,
right
I mean, there. At least, you know, Tomlin's got a ring. You yeah. know what I mean?
I mean, like, he's deserved that.
That's shoulder. What I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Jason Kelce here on the Rich Eisen Show. So, what'd you learn this weekend?
Man,
this week for the broadcast
it was a humbling experience. Very humbling.
What do you mean, humbling?
Well, I mean, calling a game.
And so you did that.
We did.
Okay, so
I guess I'll give the rundown.
So go for
we did. We did live TV game analysis color. We did live radio color. We did podcast,
mm-hmm.
and then we did like a TV studio kind of debate show.
Okay, debate yeah. show.
It wasn't really a debate show. It was more like a pre. Sunday mm-hmm. countdown type show. Type
okay.
thing. Yeah.
All right. And so they would play a game for you to analyze.
Yeah. So during the TV portion, we were analyzing the last year's Colts Vikings game.
Okay.
Biggest comeback in NFL history.
Yeah.
And then the radio show, we were doing the Chargers Chiefs.
Okay.
But Patrick Mahomes. My brother ends up scoring the game-winning touchdown. So that was a fun one to call.
Oh, of course. Yeah. So, and you noticed, obviously, the difference between radio and television. You got to yeah. be a hell of a lot more descriptive.
Much more descriptive, yeah.
Okay. There wasn't anybody on the Colts that they gave that game to call, because that'd be pretty rough. You know, I don't think
there
I'm
was.
Like...
It was actually Rodney McLeod was there, and he was on the defense for the Colts last year.
Oh!
As soon as he had got announced, he was like, really?
That is zero chill.
Yeah.
I'm sure Patrick Peterson's like, I'll call that
yeah,
game.
He was fired up for it, I'm sure. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah. And that was probably the thing that was the most intimidating.
Yeah.
Because that's the most foreign thing. You know, the TV studio thing, we've all had opinions. And you go into it knowing what you're going to talk about.
On podcasts, you got down cold.
Well, that was fun, too.
Right.
But the, you know... reacting to a stimulus, reacting to a play as it happens.
Yeah.
While you're also partnered up with a play-by-play person and trying to fit in a window within the pace of the game, like mm-hmm. all of these external factors where you can have a plan going in on kind of what you want to hit.
Yes.
But you have to do it within the confines of what's happening in front of you. That was very, very difficult. And I think for sure the most humbling thing we did. But also, I think it's probably the most exhilarating. I mean, it's when it's happening like that, your adrenaline's going, your senses are up.
There's nothing like it.
Yeah.
I mean, because I think I when I was speaking to the group on Tuesday, all I've done in my career mostly is either here talking mm-hmm. about something that's about to happen
sure.
or talking about something that has already happened.
Yeah.
That's it. Mm-hmm. To be able to talk about something as it's happening.
Yeah.
While you're at the game and it's your job to make everybody at home understand what's happening.
Yeah.
That would be more your role on it.
Sure.
But as the one who's just calling down in distance and trying to make it sound exciting if it's not.
Yeah.
Or just to shut up and let the excitement speak for itself.
Yeah.
There's nothing like it. I love it. Yeah, I do love doing that.
And I think the closest thing I've ever done to it was watching my brother do Saturday Night Live, which is live and happening right in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the same thing. It feels like it's game day. You know, everybody, it's not just you, it's everything. It's mm-hmm. it's the hair and makeup people knowing it's game time. It's the studio crew knowing it's game time.
That's exciting.
The audience, it's everything's happening and everybody knows that it's, you only get one shot at this thing. And I would imagine, you know, we doing the games this weekend, we got a taste of it. I can imagine actually on game day with everybody feeling the same way. It's got to be a pretty incredible feeling.
Well, you did it too, right? SNL, correct?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I had a very small portion, but yeah, I was a part of it.
A very small portion. You're on live television doing comedy.
Yeah. Well,
come on now. What do you mean, Will? were you excited for your, I mean, just watching your bro?
Yeah.
You got to be proud of him. He killed it.
He did great. Do a really good job. And, you know, he's one of those guys that when the lights click on, he rises to the occasion. I mean, whether it's football and big games, playoff games, he's just got that knack where I think when everybody else gets to that level and they're mm-hmm. tense up, he has this innate ability to kind of stay even keel and knock it out of the park. And he did it during Saturday Night Live. I mean, that was his best performance, I think, throughout all of it. I watched him, you know, rehearsing it when I got there. I watched a dress rehearsal right before.
Mm-hmm.
I watched him do the monologue three times. And like across the board, and of course it's the one that you have the most amount of reps on, but that's the one where, you know it's going out live at that point. And he did the best job at that point.
He did, and he was very realistic in the American Girl doll sketch.
Yes, a little too realistic. Yeah.
That was risky. That was risky, and that's the best comedy is when you take the risk and you nail it. I'll be honest with you. It was a very John Cena type performance in that skit alone. I'm serious. It was. It felt like he had that. He put it out there, man.
Yeah,
that was funny.
Yeah,
that was funny.
He said that was the main advice he got from all the people that he had known, like Paul Rudd and guys that had hosted it. They all said, you know, just go with it, man. You know, just have fun with it, roll with it. Don't be hesitant.
Mm-hmm.
Really dive full into it. And I think he did.
And then we have this photograph from Vanity Fair here. Pop it up. Let's pop it up right here.
Look at that.
I mean.
Yeah, I mean, it's always awkward when somebody with 20/20 vision is wearing glasses.
Who is this person?
Well, that's.
What
that's,
is it? Look at him.
It's my little brother.
Look at him.
Little big brother. Mm-hmm. I mean, it looks absolutely wonderful.
Look at him.
It's
on
a three-piece suit.
That's
Vanity
the Oscars.
Fair.
This is the Oscars Vanity Fair party.
It is. It is.
Does this get brought up in the locker room? Or for sure. What happens now?
It gets brought up in the locker room. We brought it up on our show. I prefer to make fun of people. I mean, that's the best thing to do,
right?
It's
the idea. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, Trav is, you know, he loves being at the scene. Vanity Fair is something that I don't think I would be very fired up to be a part of. So he wants to be the big-time guy, but... you know, I think, you know, I'm really happy that he's able to go do all those things. And he's been, because of the Super Bowl and all the success he's had, SNL, all these doors are opening for him. So I'm really, really happy for him.
What was the conversation you had after the Super Bowl that you're willing to share?
You know, I mean, on the field, it was more just, you know, hey, great job. Happy for you.
Mm-hmm.
Go celebrate with your teammates. Because I knew if we would have won, I would have right away wanted to, you know, been like, hey, I would have been upset for him. You know what I mean? So I didn't want him to feel that way for me. So I wanted him to cherish that moment, be there with mom.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, you know, I had the sad story out of that. So I think after a couple of days, sat down, you know, I think it was just really happy for him in his career. I had for a lot of people on the Chiefs, you know, it was a weird situation when you're playing the coach who drafted you, your brother, all these people that you've, you know, have had such an impact in your career personally.
Yeah.
And now you're playing them in the biggest game possible. So obviously really upset for our team. And it took me a couple of days, quite honestly, to get mad. And, you know, my initial reaction was very mixed and in some ways confused. And about 2 days after it, you're really thinking about, you know, if I would have done this, if this would have happened, if we would have done that.
Was the holding call part of the mad?
No, because there's nothing you can do about that.
Yeah.
You know, I am upset at the things that I had control of.
Right.
You know, I could have made an out call that on third down that would have solidified the protection and A.J. Brown's open. But instead, we don't convert. We have to punt. And then they get a huge punt return and take a big lead in the fourth quarter. You know, those are the things that I think about and I'm going to think about continually. And that's when you start to really set in of, you know, man, I think at first you're a little bit in denial. Then you kind of go to this, like, what was me feeling? And then there's acceptance. The typical stages of grief play out.
Yes.
And, you know, my brother told me before the season started, we were doing a whole event down at the shore, and he said, you know, there's nothing that, you know, losing a Super Bowl will make you want to win a Super Bowl that much more. And I mean, I thought he was just saying it for the crowd, something that sounds good. Trav is known to do that. But no, he was, I mean, smack dab, dead on, you know, going all that way, having the season we did and then losing it. It is such a crushing feeling. And next year's team, even though we're going to have Jalen Hurts, we're going to have a lot of similar people back, have Nick Sirianni back, it's never going to be the same. It's always a little bit different.
Yes.
So for that team not to have that finality, it sucks. It does. And, you know, still had a great year. We're very proud of the way we played. But there's nothing like having, you know, I don't even wear my Super Bowl ring. I probably couldn't even tell you where it's at right now.
Come on.
No. I'd lose that thing left and right.
Your child's not
using it. I take it to an event.
Yeah.
It stays in my golf bag. I take it to a gala and it stays in the glove compartment. Like, and these things aren't like, they're obnoxious. They're not fun to wear. They hurt your fingers next to them because the diamonds are cutting in to your other fingers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not the ring is just a symbol and a level of finality and conciseness that you are the world champion. It's what it represents. It's not the actual thing itself, or what it looks like. And for all those guys that were part of that team, not to get one sucks. And so, yeah.
And that's part of the reason why you decided to come back.
I do think it played a factor. I don't think it should. I wish it didn't. But I do think that when you go that far and you get that close and it doesn't happen,
yeah.
I think your emotions and energy, I mean, I'm goosebumps right now, get going. And you want to do that. You know it's close. And you know the team is going to be good next year as long as everybody stays healthy. We're returning a lot of pieces on offense. You know, it's, yeah. So that all plays a factor. I mean, if it was a different situation, I don't know what the answer would be. I still think I would play.
Yeah.
I think the best advice anybody's given me playing, and he's given it to me the last 4 years, and for some reason he has to keep reminding me of it, is Jeff Stoutland. And my wife has said a very similar thing.
That's your O-line coach.
My offensive line coach, Jeff Stoutland. He said, you know, Jason, you just stop playing when you don't want to play anymore. Like when you wake up and you don't want to play football anymore, stop playing. I'm like, I don't think that's ever going to happen. Like, I don't think I'm going to wake up and there's going to be a day where I don't want to play football. He's like, no. He's like, let me tell you, there's going to be a day you wake up and you're not going to want to do it anymore.
Well,
and
it's also, isn't it part of just the prep it takes for you to be ready to play it?
Yeah. I mean,
the mental and the physical, where it's just like, you know, I just don't know if I want to do
that. And I think that's what he's saying. Like, really, the physical part, you know, knock on wood, wherever
I got you right here.
I mean, my I'm in pretty good shape for a guy going into his 13th year. I got some knee pain, some ankle pain, this, that. But it's really what you're talking about, the mental grind, the level of attention that you have to have on a daily basis to do it right.
Yeah.
Because part of my job is, one, being prepared myself. Also being, two, prepared to put everybody in the right position. You know, center, quarterback, middle linebacker, and safety are the four spots on the field where you get to actively make other players play better or influence how they play just by the calls you make, just by the communication that you do. And that all, to do that well, requires attention in the meeting rooms, requires film study, requires communication throughout the week. And all of that takes energy and effort. And all of that ultimately, on some levels, gets distracted from other areas of my life. And you have to really think whether you're willing to do that again. And I think when Stout says, Jeff Stoutland, my offensive line coach, when he says, you got to figure out if you want to do this again, that's what he's talking about. Are you willing to make that commitment again? And if you're not and you don't want to make that commitment and you don't want to play football like that, don't do it. And I was still in a position where I felt like for another year I wanted to do that. And I do think losing the Super Bowl does play a factor, but I think ultimately I still want to play football. I still love that aspect. I love going and game planning with Jalen Hurts and our offensive coordinator now, Brian Johnson, and I'm sure it's going to be a blast. Nick Sirianni, Jeff. I mean, that's most fun I have during the week is figuring out how are we going to attack these guys. What do you see? They play this technique to the weak side. They play this type of technique over the tight end. I think this plays here. They're a shell, two high safeties. They're one high safety, and they play aggressive downhill. All of these things, and you're trying to figure out. And that's part of the things that I still love doing.
Jason Kelce here on the Rich Eisen Show. We'll take a break. I'm going to put you through the paces. You just did your broadcast workshop boot camp.
Yeah.
Now you get the Rich Eisen Show version of it. Okay. We've got a game called What's More Likely. Chris Brockman's going to throw at both of us two scenarios. You got to choose which one's more likely. It's NFL related. I also have a draft question for you.
Draft question.
Analysis is coming. 844-204-RICH, also the number down. I want to talk to Jason Kelce. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show. Monster.com can help you tackle the job hunt and make your next career move. In football and in life, there's the regular season, and then there's the playoffs. Monster.com knows that scoring your next job, that's a playoff moment. To bring your A game, you need Monster.com. Looking to change positions and join a new team? Monster can help. Monster.com has millions of job openings and great coaching and career advice for a strong performance when it counts. Plus, when you upload your resume to Monster.com, you can be recruited by employers before they even post their jobs. Monster.com specializes in building the right teams for employers and knows how to match you with those job fits. When you score the position, Monster.com's salary calculator ensures you're paid what you're worth. The regular season is history, and we all know the playoffs are no time for messing around. It's time to get off the sidelines and go to Monster.com and win the job hunt. Monster.com. After years of getting ripped off by big wireless providers, there's finally a better option. Mint Mobile is the affordable premium wireless service that you can buy online, starting at just $15 a month. By cutting out retail stores, Mint Mobile got rid of the crazy overhead costs, so you could score sweet savings every month. To get your new wireless phone plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/switch. That's mintmobile.com/switch. We got Jason Kelce back here on the Rich Eisen Show. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Okay, I'm about to put you through the paces. You want to be part of the paparazzi? You're out here trying to learn the craft, even though you and your bro are killing it on your new Heights pod. Here's something for you. Shane Steichen,
yes,
new head coach of the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah.
What do you think they're going to do fourth overall? If Anthony Richardson is there, do you think he's the whole idea is like, look what he did with Jalen Hurts. Look what he did with, you know, Justin Herbert when he was a rookie and he was his quarterback's coach, a guy who can run it, a guy who can throw it. What do you think?
I think he is going to go quarterback. I don't know which one. Anthony Richardson obviously wowed everybody at his pro day. Just unbelievable throwing the ball.
He killed it at the combine. I just saw with my own two eyes. He's unbelievable. And yeah. Just so you're aware as well, John Beck, the throwing guru and, mm-hmm. and coach, who's I think doing Stroud and Bryce Young.
Yeah.
He told me a story about how he was at an event years ago
sure.
with a bunch of kids throwing. And he's wondering, why is this linebacker who knows so much about quarterbacking coming up to me and picking my brain about quarterbacking? And somebody said to him, that's Anthony Richardson. Give you an idea of his size.
The size and stature of him alone is impressive.
But knowing Steichen as well as you do, what do you think?
It'll be interesting because obviously he's with Philip Rivers for a long time with the Chargers. And I think, you know, then he was with Justin Herbert with the Chargers. And mm-hmm. those are two guys that are drop back quarterbacks. Herbert can run a little bit, yes. I guess, but what they're known for is sitting back there and throwing the ball. And I think, obviously, transitioned to this past year with Jalen Hurts, a much more dynamic running player.
Yes.
Certainly doing more run design plays where they're reading and keeping it, but still having a semblance of throwing from the pocket. That kind of feels where the league is going. I think with more of these guys coming out, like Anthony Richardson, CJ Stroud, all these guys that have incredible athleticism as well as a capability of throwing it. That feels where it's going. That being said, it's tough to say who. I think he'll take whoever he thinks is the best player, best quarterback, and then off of that fit the offense. I don't think it'll necessarily be like, I want to have the dual threat guy. I want to have the guy that is the physically unbelievably gifted player, where I want to have this guy who might be more of a pocket presence, dialed in mentally,
mm-hmm.
and he impresses in all the meeting rooms, and they think he can be a Philip Rivers or I dare say Tom Brady.
So
one of those types of quarterbacks.
So you're counseling, just because he crushed it with Jalen Hurts, don't think that's the only style of quarterback he's looking for in this draft, is what you're saying.
Correct. I think he's a good enough coach that whatever quarterback he thinks is the best one that he sees eye to eye with, he thinks that is going to be the best leader,
mm-hmm.
is going to be the most committed, is going to be the guy that can make all the throws. And I think he's going to fit the offense around the skill set that guy has. And it might be Anthony Richardson. It's tough to say without being in those meeting rooms.
We don't know. It could be Will Levis could be the only quarterback left on the board who's healthy that's got a first-round grade. And if that happens, they might sit there and go, well, let's see what Lamar Jackson wants to do.
How about that? Yeah, I mean, who knows what's going on in that situation?
I have no idea.
Sounds like Lamar wants out. Sucks that it's gotten to this point with the Ravens. I think, obviously, the guaranteed contract is tricky. The Deshaun Watson contract has upended everything, it feels like,
mm-hmm.
last year with the Cleveland Browns. And Lamar deserves money. I mean, he deserves to be paid like a premier quarterback. He's been one of the best. He's won games. As long as he's healthy, the dynamic generational talent he is, his ability to create mismatches in the run and pass. Because, you know, with Greg Roman, obviously a very heavy run game, three tight ends. They're doing a lot of things that utilize his strength in that field. But you look at him in two-minute drills, and similar way we kind of operated with Jalen, of utilizing his ability to run, and Pat Mahomes does this naturally, just by escaping the pocket.
Yes.
Doing some design quarterback draws here and there, as well as being able to throw the ball down the field. I mean, Lamar has been a very good quarterback when he's had to be that passing quarterback, so can he do that more? So, I don't know. Guaranteeing that much money,
mm-hmm.
to a guy who runs as often as he does, I understand the Ravens side of it. But if I'm looking at it from Lamar's perspective, I mean, this guy's been one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I've proven it year in, year out.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's the talent I am at that position. It sucks that it's gotten to this. And I'm sure that he would fit in unbelievably anywhere he was at. And a guy like Shane Steichen would be able to utilize those talents.
Jason Kelce here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, Christopher, are you ready to do what you do every Friday?
Let's do it.
It's a game we call What's More Likely, where Chris Brockman has two, what would you say, theories or possibilities?
And scenarios.
You have to choose what's options. More likely. Okay,
ready? Let's do it.
We have outstanding production value to it as well. Go for it.
What?
What's more likely?
Hey, never say never, but never.
There you go. A little Mike Tomlin drop, as they say in the radio business as well. Mike with the NFL Films music, greatly appreciated. All right, Christopher, the floor is yours with Jason Kelce.
Jason, breaking news. You have a brother that also plays in the NFL.
Yeah.
He plays in the AFC West.
Yeah.
You play in the NFC East.
Yes.
Which division is most likely to have the most Pro Bowl quarterbacks? NFC East or AFC West?
Good one to start
this
off.
This is a great one.
You didn't get this at the boot camp, did you?
I did not. This is a tougher one.
Okay.
I'm going to say the NFC East because I think not even just the AFC West, the AFC in general is stacked at the quarterback position. I mean, you got Joe Burrow in Cincinnati.
Mm.
You got Josh Allen in Buffalo.
That leaves one. That leaves one, and we know which one that's going to be. That leaves only one. That's Pat Mahomes, right?
Yeah.
And then in the NFC, right? You got in
Jalen
the NFC
Hurts.
East.
You got in the NFC East. You got Jalen Hurts. You also have
his name's Dak.
Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
And then obviously, and then you got Giants Daniel Jones. So. Yeah, AFC West, Russell Wilson, Pat Mahomes, Justin Herbert. But then outside of that division, there's so many guys competing in the AFC. That's why I'm going. I think the NFC East has the higher probability.
Jason Kelce saying, I'm going with my home division, but not because I'm a homer. But I'm giving you an idea of the way the Pro Bowl roster is put together. And there are so many others in that conference. I like it. Way to be a homer without being a homer. And also slagging on Daniel Jones, which I know you deep down want to. All right. You think he's a Pro Bowl quarterback, Daniel Jones?
I think he can be. I mean, I think Daniel Jones actually has more upside than what people think. You know, the contract thing, I don't know if that's quite... I mean, I think he needs weapons. And I think if he gets some weapons, he's dynamic with his legs. He can make all the throws. And I think Daboll has proven to be a really, really good coach. So, as well as my man Mike Kafka, who I played with in Philadelphia.
Ah, that's
I could
right.
see them doing some, their offensive coordinator.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I could see Daniel having a really, really good year if they put some weapons around him. Outside of playing the Philadelphia Eagles, of course.
Understood. What else, Chris? Next up.
We're in Los Angeles, and I'm from New England.
All right.
Which team is most likely to bounce back and make the playoffs this year, Patriots or Rams?
Jason Kelce.
Man. I'm going to say the Rams.
I told
and
you.
It's, and it all comes down again to the division they're in. New England's division right now, the AFC East, might be the toughest division in the AFC. I mean, the Dolphins.
Bills.
And then the Jets get Aaron Rodgers. I mean, this could be the most stacked division in football if that happens.
Okay.
Which is crazy that New England is at this stage where for the past 20 years, it has dominated that entire
He thinks
division.
The Rams are tanking.
You think they're going to tank? Well,
I don't think you can. I said, here's what I've said. You cannot tank with Aaron Donald on your team and Cooper Kupp on your team and Matthew Stafford being full go. The credit card bill has come due. And so you can't keep everybody. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I would choose the Rams over that, too.
I just think the AFC is so stacked. And at the quarterback position, they're stacked. All the teams are so good. Hey, NFC, listen, Eagles are pretty darn good. But, you know, I mean, the division that the Rams are in, I mean, Seattle won it last year and snuck in, right? Like, it's just not, unless all of these teams get dramatically better, the Rams are in a better position to make one move or to... for McVay to start scheming things up again and being the boy wonder he was when he first got hired, and he's proven to be throughout his tenure as head coach, to sneak enough games out to win them and get into the playoffs. I mean, maybe they are tanking. I know they had a lot of cap relief to do from this past year, but I'm still thinking they're in the better situation.
Did you say McVay or Bombay?
I'm sorry, Bombay.
Okay,
I apologize.
What else, Chris? What else you got over there?
Jason Kelce, congratulations. You're the Panthers general manager.
Ooh.
Quarterback you'd most likely take number one in a couple weeks. C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, Anthony Richardson.
Yeah. Well, you can't go wrong. If I'm the GM, first of all, I'm very happy that I hired Frank Reich, my former offensive coordinator.
I like your style,
I know I got
Jason.
A good head coach.
Yep.
I really do like Anthony Richardson. I think the physical stature the dynamic ability across the board.
You just saw it in the Super Bowl. What I'm saying, what a skill set like that can do at the highest level if the guy is like Jalen Hurts, obviously. That's a big if.
Yeah, and listen, a big reason Jalen is so good, it's not just the physical stuff. He has all the mental capability. He's one of the most driven human beings I've ever been around. So it's hard to know whether Anthony Richardson, I've never met the kid, so I don't know if he has all that. But the traits are eye-opening. And when you have a guy that can do that and is that much of a physical specimen and you can do the things in the run game, you can be dynamic in a spread-out offense where you get light boxes and utilize that. It opens up so many other things. It makes everybody else's job so much easier. It can be a huge improvement.
Well, if Carolina takes Anthony Richardson first overall, it would be such a noise coming out of Kansas City. It would make Travis Kelce's music festival sound like a library. If that happens, that would be wild. What else you got over there, Chris?
We talked about him earlier. The most likely playing spot for Lamar Jackson this year, Baltimore or the field?
Baltimore or the field, anywhere. Man, I think it's going to be Baltimore.
Me too.
And I think Baltimore was really, really smart to put this unrestricted franchise tag on him because this allows him to see what his value is and allows the Ravens to see what that value is. And I think I got to think that the Ravens already did that homework. I hope that they're smart enough that they already know what that value is already talked to other GMs.
I know and I don't know if you were told this at the broadcast boot camp. I mostly like to ask questions I already know the answer to.
Oh, okay.
On this show. No, so if you're the Ravens, you'd like to already know what much of the answer's going to be.
Yeah, I got to think when they put that tag on them, they've already done their homework and they already feel very confident with the offer that they've given Lamar.
Yes.
And I think once he sees what the value is, where he's at, I think that maybe there'll be some rekindling of spirits there and he'll end up still in Baltimore.
Rekindling of spirits sounds like that house band, right? That your friends like, hey, I'm playing, my boys are playing Rekindling of Spirits. We're playing this weekend. You want to come by? I like it though. You got one more, Chris,
of course,
or we got two
of
more?
Of course we have one more.
Okay.
Who's more likely to pick up the tab at dinner? You or Travis?
Oh,
great question, Chris Brockman. What's more likely, Jason Kelce or Travis Kelce? Who picks up the tab? What do you got?
Depends on what city we're in. Oh. If we're in KC, Trav almost always picks it up. If we're
almost,
in
did you hear almost?
I heard almost.
Yeah.
So it's not 100% hit rate on the check in Kansas City? Wait a minute.
I think every time I've been out with him, it's been 100%. I'll say it's 100% in Kansas City. Trav gets it. I get in Philadelphia. Outside of that.
Neutral site. Let's go neutral site. We're neutral site.
Neutral site.
Who picks it up?
Man. I think I'm going to get it. I'm getting the tab. I mean,
because you're the older brother.
Older brother.
Or do you have the famous,
it's because I'm the only
check picking drop, Mike? You got that one? Because we have this drop. Is this Travis when the check comes due?
I got this. Just got to reach the check.
Is that it, right? That's Travis?
That's the effort. That's the effort level. Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm going to start pulling the maneuver of giving the card to the waitress before the check has come. I think that's the only way to guarantee you pick it up.
Good one, Chris.
Last one.
Oh, you got one more?
We don't have one more.
Very good. Okay, good. What else you got?
Most likely thing to happen first. You put back on the mummer's outfit or we shave the beard.
Man.
Look at that photo on the right. What year is that?
That is, unfortunately, when it's my... 30 year in the league.
So it's
off season.
So this beard's a decade old, is what you're saying?
Oh, yeah. And I'm going to be fully honest. It's a much higher percent chance I'm wearing the mummer suit again. As you can just see with that picture of me beardless, I'm not going back to that anytime soon.
Hold on a second, though. My 9-year-old daughter is begging me to shave the beard.
Really? Doesn't like it?
Stop.
Why doesn't she like it?
I don't know, because it's itchy. I don't know. She just doesn't like it. You know, that's when her mom steps in and says, it's Stan.
Did you ever, so, when you shaved it and you had the 5 o'clock or the little stubble?
Yeah.
Did you ever rub it on it? Because my dad used to do that to me time. He'd shave his beard.
Yeah.
Had the little stubble coming out. And then he'd rub it against my belly like it was like sandpaper. And it used to drive me crazy. So I would think if you did that, maybe she would like the beard. So maybe you can train her, shave it, get the stubble.
I don't think so. She wants
negative
it
reinforcement.
So again, he says it's more likely to put on the mummer's costume, not because you're puffing your chest out saying you're guaranteeing a Super Bowl win. No. It's just the baby face is so unacceptable for you or your wife or just for society in general.
Me. Okay, look at that picture. It's just a bad look, especially the butt chin. I mean, it's not a good photo.
The butt chin.
Yeah,
the butt chin. I didn't know you had one of them.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully, well, now everybody knows, but hopefully nobody will see me and know, and that's why I have a beard.
Understood. All right, we'll take a break and close up shop with Jason Kelce. A couple more minutes left with him when we return on the Rich Eisen Show and take you to the weekend, everybody. Fantastic. Men, do you get distracted during the day thinking about your underarms sweating, itching, or emitting an odor? Do those thoughts keep you from showing care when it counts? New and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant with 72-hour sweat and odor protection and 1-quarter moisturizing cream helps you forget about your underarms so you can be present for the moments that matter. Don't let underarm insecurities keep you at arm's distance from the ones you care about. Buy new and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant wherever personal care products are sold.
It's WrestleMania season, and the Podcast Heat Network has you covered.
Woo!
Podcast Heat has shows featuring many of your favorite wrestlers and personalities leading up to the Showcase of the Immortals.
The Showcase of the Immortals. And talking about the results afterwards.
And now it's not just WrestleMania being a day, it's a week. I don't know if there's anything quite like it in any other form of entertainment.
There's not.
Get into the WrestleMania spirit with the Podcast Heat Network.
Woo!
Wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, still with Jason Kelce, our radio audience just returned. And, we were talking about how your folks were on our Super Bowl show. We put them on our special on the Roku channel, and that show did gangbusters, and it was great to have them there. And we've had parents on before, but Chris, I think you've been here since Jump, and TJ, you've been here, and obviously Mike, you can attest. I believe Donna Kelce was the first parent to show up with a promo code. for pizza, right? Right? Correct?
I think that's true, yeah.
Made your mom promo code worthy, man.
It was remarkable.
You and Travis, look at you. Another achievement. The first.
She was not only that, she was sponsored by like Bud Light. She had the first beer sponsorship of, like, I couldn't even get the beer sponsorship first. Yeah, no. She beat all of us.
Oh, my gosh. Fantastic. I love it. And so I appreciate you coming in here, man. The only thing I wish is that I wasn't sitting. That I wish I was walking around, since you pointed out I walk so elegantly when I was on New Eyes Pod. Honestly.
I'm not making that up. When the moment you walk through, and it might have been the turtleneck, the black turtleneck.
Yeah.
It almost was like your head was like floating, and it didn't like go up or down. It was just like a solid movement. And I was already intimidated.
Get out of here.
I swear to God, I was already intimidated going to interview one of my childhood icons, Rich Eisen.
I am a childhood icon.
You are, for everyone who was born in my generation brought up watching SportsCenter
in
the golden era of sports and reporting.
Scott.
I'm not making any of this up. And it was insane for me to be able to do that. And so I was already interested in what you were going to look like. And the moment you came through the door, I was like, it was like magical. I'm not making this up, man, at all.
Like magical. Why are you chiming in? How am I when I walk in every day? Is it magical? Am I elegantly walking in here?
No, you're like on the phone. You're pacing around. You're yelling at somebody.
Magical.
In regards to your show, I thought you were going for a Steve Jobs or like the SNL Rockets look. Like, it was really, I didn't understand.
It was cold. It was cold. It was in Indianapolis. It was cold. It was rainy and cold.
You didn't have a jacket?
What's wrong with the turtleneck? What's wrong with the turtleneck?
Are you Elizabeth Holmes?
Definitely not. Definitely not. Definitely not. Are you done with the turtleneck, Cam? I think I'm elegant. I think I'm an elegant walker.
Elegant.
I appreciate that.
Jason, if there's a question I can ask you, because it's always, I found it funny. You and Travis grew up in the same house, and yet you just seem a lot different. I know you were in the jazz band, right?
Yeah.
You play guitar. You seem maybe he's listening. Travis seems like all he did was listen to hip-hop and R&B. Like,
yeah.
How did you two, like, come from the same spot?
So different?
It's just seemingly so different with the way you just seem to approach everything.
Let me tell you, we grew up in a very diverse area. We grew up in Cleveland Heights, Ohio.
You can just talk to me in the monitor there. That'll make it easier on you. Yeah.
So, yeah, we grew up in Cleveland Heights, Ohio. And, I mean, you want to talk about a melting pot, a great representation of people from all walks of life in one suburb of Cleveland. You know, we got exposed to everything. And, you know, it's a very liberal arts forward district. Everyone starts with an instrument. When you're 4 years old, you start with the recorder, or fourth grade, you start with the recorder in third grade. You have to do some semblance of music by the time you're in middle school, whether it's choir or band, all sorts of extracurriculars, from dancing to sports. For me, I played jazz. My brother sang. He played trumpet for a little bit. Didn't have the energy or focus for it.
Please tell me there's video of him playing the trumpet.
There's certainly not that I have seen.
I can call mommy.
Mommy would know.
Mommy would have the
mommy
video.
Would have it. He didn't stick with it very long. And, you know, I think it ultimately, for whatever reason, Travis was drawn and really liked and fit in with the hip-hop culture, and he played basketball, so he's all about shoes. Like, all he cared about was having the new Jordans or whatever basketball shoe. And crazy. I used to get pissed off because I would be wearing Skechers, and the entire high school would be clowning me. Like, what are you doing wearing Skechers? And luckily, I was a really good athlete, so they couldn't do it too much. But,
yes.
You know, we every race, religion, you know, background, it was a wonderful place to go and be exposed to all sorts of things. And I just, you know, Trav has always been kind of that way, and always into dancing and being in the spotlight and fashion. And I wear New Balances. And
your father of three chowing down egg sandwiches while your wife's in labor. And he's standing there on the red carpet at Vanity Fair playing with American Girl dolls on Saturday Night Live. God bless your parents, man.
Yeah.
And I'm thrilled that you're here, too. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you, Rich.
So much. New Heights Podcast with Jason and Travis Kelce. It is on fire. It is must listen to. I had a blast doing it. Please have me anytime you need a guest or want a guest or
be
anything
careful.
Like that. I'll do it.
All right.
And say hi to your brother for me, because I think he's forgotten who I am now that he's taken off.
I can guarantee that is not the case.
Okay. I like saying those things. Say it again.
Should we FaceTime Travis real quick?
Well, we're out of time. We got five more minutes.
Five more seconds.
All right. Very good. That's Jason Kelce. Have a great Masters weekend, everybody. We're wrap this show on the Roku channel in a moment with Jason.
Wrestling fans, feel the podcast heat. Woo! Join Hall of Fame wrestlers every week sharing their stories from the past. Click this with Kevin Nash.
I'm in the ring in my mind saying, that's Hulk Hogan. Like, Hogan's with us.
And insights on what's happening now. Strictly Business with Eric Bischoff.
We love breaking down the business of the wrestling business.
Ric Flair, Mike Mulley, Jake the Snake Roberts, good old JR, and more. Get into the WrestleMania spirit. Just search Podcast Heat wherever you listen.